Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Kadampa Center. My name is Lamo. I thought we should probably get started. Sometimes Geshe-la arrives early, earlier than we assume. When Geshe-la arrives, you'll notice that everyone will be standing up and then doing prostrations. We ask that everyone does stand out of respect for Geshe-la, but you'll notice that people will be doing prostrations, and you are not required to do that. If you feel uncomfortable doing that, then you can just remain standing. And we'll be saying some prayers, and they're in the prayer book. If you're sitting in the chair, it's behind your chair, and if you're sitting at a pew, it's at the end of the pew. Most of the prayers will be at the beginning on the either the base sheet or the pink sheet. Oh, thank you. She's not coming. She's sick. Thank you. Thank you. Today, Geshe-la will be teaching on the Wheel of Sharp Weapons. Which also is sometimes he also teaches from Peacock in the Poison Grove, and these texts are available online through Alexander Berzin's archives, and also it's in the Mind Training text, which is a large hardbound book. Now the Peacock in the Poison Grove is available online. In the bookstore, and of course online also. If you wanted to get one today, you can. And we just started. This will be the third session. So let's just settle our minds to get ready for the teaching. So if you take out the white prayer book and turn to the we'll chant Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra at the top three times, then the four immeasurables in English one time, and then right below there in Tibetan one time.
Taya ta om mune mune ma
sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies.
Yeah.
can see the two mantras at the bottom of the first pink sheet, Green Tower's Mantra and Chen Reisik's Mantra. So let's chant Chen Reisik's Mantra 8 times. Om Mani Padme Hum, 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 Om Mani Padme Hum. And then Green Tower's mantra right above that, 7 times. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha.
Now the children are welcome to go to their classes. If your child has never been to a class, would you please accompany him or her and fill out a survey form at behind the two doors? Today is Sunday, October the 7th, 2012, Sunday Teachings with Geshe-la.
Good morning. Good morning. So, Ramla, would you mind lead this meditation, 9 round breathing meditation, or somebody else? Who wants to lead? Any voluntary? 9 round breathing meditation we've been doing since beginning this time. Any voluntary? No. Yeah. So maybe with some explanations. So we are doing this. Yeah, that's good. So mainly we're doing for to benefit all of us, and especially for the newcomer here. If somebody here first time, so this breathing, 9 round breathing meditation will help. So please. Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity. So 9 round breathing meditation is for the benefit of clearing the channels, which I'm not qualified to explain, and hopefully you'll find benefit for this. But with your third finger of your right hand, excuse me, let me start with saying that all of the meditations, breathing meditations, will start with an exhale. So we will exhale first and then inhale. And the purpose of this meditation is to breathe out through one nostril and breathe in through another nostril, as I understand it. So please correct me if I'm wrong. So we will start with closing off the left side of our nose with our middle finger, our ring finger, and breathing out through the right side of our nostril. So I will just demonstrate. And then close off the right side of your nostril and breathe in. We will do that 3 times, and then we will alternate hands and nostrils for 3 more times. And then at that point, we will breathe out through our mouth, exhale, and breathe in 3 times. So that is a total of 9 rounds for the purpose of clearing our channels that might be explained by reducing anxiety or stress. But if we practice it, and I consider this a practice, and I find it beneficial, and the reason I volunteered is because I did it just now. I am a little bit nervous. So let's try this together with closing off our left side, breathing out. Exhale through the mouth. The benefit, one of the many benefits of this meditation is that it is quick for people who are time challenged or motivation challenged, like myself. And children can do this meditation also, so it's a good one to start with young folks who might not have the attention, concentration. Anything else?
Yeah. Can you say a little bit more about the process?
I can.
So this is not a quiz. This is like the sharing knowledge.
So there are many, many, many channels that energy runs through our body. I'm a little bit nervous here, so please help me out. And the mind functions on these channels, these wind channels. And as we clear the channels and help them function better, with this meditation and other practices, other breathing meditations and practices, we will have clarity of benefiting our minds and, of course, in that benefiting all sentient beings.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there are 72,000 channels according to...
That's very correct.
Buddhist teachings, and... that's about all I can explain.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, maybe if every Sunday if people can voluntary, that's good, you know. If you lead, you know, like, doesn't matter who lead, I lead, you lead, no difference. Same. No difference. So I'm not sure how much people understand when I say, you know, this meditation is like lung roll, you know, lung. What's called lung literally means wind. So that doesn't make really sense, you know, wind. But in the wind, that's gross, subtle, very subtle. So probably the very subtle. Just from the Tibetan, you know, the Buddhist point of view, especially Vajrayana Buddhist point of view, the very subtle wind, that is considered as energy, not, you know, all the wind, you know, very subtle wind. I may be wrong, so, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. According to the Vajrayana teaching, you know, Sutrayana, Vajrayana teaching, so. So we doesn't matter when we divide it, you know, gross, subtle, very subtle, we all, this all called vain. Doesn't change the name, you know, terms, it's called still vain. So gross, you know, so everybody knows, you know, when wind comes, you know, something blows, you know, that's the kind of wind. So then, probably, you know, our breath, probably more little subtle, then, you know, then very subtle, that's the one. Every consciousness or mind is riding on. So that means, what it means, you know, like, so they are giving us some, something to understand. So they say, you know, it, every consciousness riding on that subtle wind or energy. If it's energy, that's very subtle one, okay, that's not the gross one, very subtle one. What that means you cannot separate that energy and the mind, you cannot separate. That includes every mind. Whether it's negative, positive, every mind, that includes, you cannot separate. So that's the nature. That's nature. You cannot separate. So now, you know, when we focus, you know, when we concentrate, whether it's our breath or any object or flower or anything, that when we, you know, concentrate, so that the power of that concentration, you know, balance our mind. So I want you to know, you know, this is knowledge that we share, you know. So when we concentrate, that, you know, same mind, same less one means, you know, you can do whatever you want. Actually, something like that. You can do whatever you want. So now, right now, your mind, you can do whatever you want. Is that correct? You can do whatever you want. Especially, you know, when we encounter some difficulties, it's obvious. You know, you can't do whatever you want. So what we want to do something good. That's our nature. You know, we want to do something good. So anyway, so same lesson one means, you know, when we concentrate, then that makes mind flexible, lesser. So then energy, you cannot separate. Energy that you cannot separate from that mind, that runs through our channels, 72,000 channels. Because of those channels, we function. We breathe, we blink, we, you know, move, you know, all kinds of things. Things going down, things going up, all these things, because there's 72,000 channels. So don't think that I know all of them. I don't know even 10. I do know the number, 72,000. So that means I'm warning you, don't ask me that question. How many? What are those 72,000 channels? So I can refer you to the book. 72,000 channels. So when we concentrate, you know, that makes mind more flexible. So that has a positive impact on the energy. So that what we call balance energy, rather than imbalance, is balance. By, you know, balance, you know, by, you know, concentrating. That's exactly what the text said, the text. So then more of that balance energy that goes through our channels. So that will contribute to the physical comfort. Okay? Physical, that whole idea, physical comfort. Is it clear? Everybody understand? Okay. It's important because it's knowledge. Buddhism is all about wisdom. No wisdom, no happiness. It's not just, you know, belief or faith. That we have to learn. We have to learn. So then more of those, you know, more of those balanced energy that goes through the channels that contribute to the physical comfort. Sometimes there's, you know, there's so many problems. Maybe some there's some of that in the mind, you know, caused by this wasteful energy that's created by your own mind not able to focus. So, you know, more throughout the day, you look, you know, how much time did I spend to concentrate. That's why, you know, you don't wonder, you don't surprise how many imbalanced energies have been created by throughout the day. So many of them, you can't stop. It goes to your channel. You cannot stop. The energy goes to the channel, whether it's balanced or imbalanced, it goes to the channels. You cannot stop. At the moment, you cannot stop. Maybe, you know, when you reach deeper, very, very deeper, you know, like practices, then that probably there is a way you can probably separate it. You can say, maybe there's no way. So anyway, right now, you know, that's the reality. So there's no, so that's how you balance the energy, not by, you know, simple wish that you concentrate. Okay, you concentrate. Concentrate. Say the crunchy kale chips with the pizza flavor. That makes it sounds better. But it still doesn't taste good. I'm joking, sorry. That's your, because it's here, sitting here, there's one. So anyway, so now serious. So you know, so that's how you balance the energy. Okay, that's how you balance the energy. You concentrate. That's the very purpose why you concentrate. Why somebody needs to be concentrated. You know. So you know here that you have term like what called ADT. ADD. Oh. Can you say?
It's called attention and deficit disorder.
Oh. ADD. Yeah. So how you can, you know, this concentration will help. Concentration. It helps to, you know, concentrate, to keep the concentrate. So fortunately, you have so many resources here in this country, you know, that you are very fortunate. So anyway, so make sure that when you concentrate, that's why you concentrate. You know, you want to balance that energies, you know, that runs through the channel. You cannot stop. You cannot stop. That needs to be clear. You cannot stop. At the moment, you cannot stop. So when, that's why you concentrate. You know. When you concentrate, so then more, and repeating this, make sure that everybody understand. Okay, not because that's how I learn. Not just one time, but you know, repeat. Then that's how I learn. So that's why you concentrate, then you balance the energy, then it goes through, you know, that contribute first, they contribute physical comfort. So then it will contribute to the mental comfort, this whole idea. It's not because you are Buddhist, not because you are very spiritual, not because, you know, Katamasara does that you don't have to do. No, not in the sense, you know, for your sake. No, that's what you do, okay? So this nine down breathing meditation is eliminating that wasteful energy has been stuck into our channels. That's the way to eliminate or clear out the wasteful energy that's stuck in your channels. That's how you eliminate. It's been taught 2,500 years ago. It's been tested. It produced great results. So, you know, it has history. It's to history, okay? So then it's important as a happiness seeker. It's important to follow the instruction it has, which are instructions which has history. You know, not, you know, somebody just made it up last night like that, okay? So then from my side, I'm happy that I share some instruction that has history so that you learn something that has origin rather than no origin. Okay? So then people who put those practice together, their whole goal is to you to be well, a better person, that's all, you know. So that's what Buddhists believe. Our belief is, you know, may all sentient beings, regardless, gender, race, traditions, culture, religion, that's our goal. That's our goal. You know, that's our wish, that's our dream. You know, that's what we are working towards, you know. May all sentient beings, not just may all Tibetan beings. May all sentient beings. That's what you say. At the same time, that's what you're supposed to think. So then that becomes meditation. That's why we chant this four individual prayer. May all sentient beings, you know, so they include everybody, a loved one, the strangers, people we don't like, you know, that for some reason, unfortunately, include everybody. Everybody. Big job. Big job. But a good cause. A good cause, good result. So, yeah, so maybe next week, maybe somebody else will, you know, please volunteer to lead. No, here is all giving, sharing, whatever it is knowledge, you know. So we share, okay. So now, not my time here. So, so last Sunday, what we discussed, so maybe, you know, next Sunday there will be more time. So then, you know, there are two people will voluntary. One person will lead 9 round breathing meditation with some explanations. So then one person will lead the normal breathing meditations, which is for to develop, you know, balance, energy, useful energy, and how to concentrate using our own breath, okay? Then I think last Sunday, so now not much, I'm not sure what to do. So last Sunday, we, from the Buddhist point of view, you know, the book that we've been studying here at Kadamba Center is for mind training text. So in this text suggests, you know, like Buddhism, Theravadan, Mahayana tradition, Theravadan tradition. Tibetan Buddhism is based on Mahayana traditions. In that teachings, so much emphasis is put on cherishing others as a door to happiness. So that's our conclusion from last Sunday. So then I was wondering, what do you think about that? You know, maybe you may have some other ideas to, how to say, maybe there's some, you may have some other door to happiness. Other door to happiness. Besides beer. Or could be other door, could be kale to happiness. So what we should do? So last Sunday we discussed about dividing the small group. So and also, you know, I myself read time and time again, I read books about Mother Teresa, which is a symbol of compassion and love, whole our life, you know. So, she's Christian, doesn't matter. So, you know, as long as it benefits your mind, that's what is more important. So, you know, like, yeah, core of Mother's message is to love. So now I was wondering, like, say, one time in her book, she said, no faith, no love. What is it, like, she said, faith, love, then, no prayer, no prayer, no faith, no love, no love, no service. No, she's not ordinary person, I think. Probably most of you agree, she's not something ordinary, you know. The way the service that she's been provided in the poorest of poor in the world, you know, Calcutta, I've been there a number of times. So even just living there is, you know, become challenged. Then just forget about doing all this unthinkable work for the poor, you know, poor. So like, that's mind blowing. And she happens in our generations. It's not something that, you know, happened 2,500 years ago. It happens in our generation. That's something we saw, but many of you also probably know. So true. So think about that, you know. Think, and she's the one who's giving so much love, genuinely, sincerely, to regardless of tradition, religions, race. You know, she interacted with all kinds of people, background, you know, faith, religion background, culture, different traditions. So, can we learn something from mother's legacy? Can we learn something from mother's legacy? Oh, so, prayer, you know, that's how she counts: prayer, faith, love, actions. So I also wonder, maybe something needs to be discussed, you know, so maybe you may have some different idea. That's absolutely fine. Having a different opinion is not a bad thing. So, think about that. I'm just, you know, telling you what mother believes, you know, so then think about that. So, so then also look up the faith, you know, in Tibetan Buddhism there's three different types of faith. It's not just one, there's three different types of faith that Buddhism you find if you do some search. There's three different types of faith. Maybe which faith, maybe her, she's referring to, maybe all of them, or maybe one of them. So then the connection between prayer and faith. And the prayer, you know, is for what I understand, the definition of prayer is simply is wish, is good wish, wonderful wish, you know. And that, you know, reflects into the books. So that's what I think is called prayer. So then we repeat them, you know, we say them. So, for example, there's four images of prayer. There's, you know, some incredible beings that wish, you know, kind of, you know, that becomes available in the book. That's called prayer. So now connection between prayer and faith, then connection between love and faith. So then faith, you know, like maybe there's different definitions of faith, you know, from a spiritual point of view. You know, spiritual point of view, faith means something. You know, that there's certain definition of faith in the spiritual field. And from religion point of view or spiritual point of view, there's no certain definition. But maybe from, say, you know, that word has been used widely, not just in religious institutions, you know, been widely used, you know, I have faith in you. I'm not sure what that definition means, you know. I have faith in my doctors, you know. So that's good things. If you have faith in your doctor, that's good things. So maybe that kind of faith, you know, what's the definition of that kind of faith? So then that, you know, once you figure that out, then maybe there's, you know, we can link love between faith and love. So then, last part is quite obvious, you know, if there's no love, there will be no service, no action. No matter which angle you say, you know, cherishing others is the door to happiness, or putting your love into action is, you know, road to happiness. It's the same or different, the use of the word, but it's, you know, it's like that comes to the same conclusions. So, and, you know, that she also has specific advice for the families, how to maintain happy families. I think it's, you know, good to read this kind of books. Maybe we can learn something. These are the individual beings who firmly believe, you know, like their door to happiness is to give rather than hold, you know. So this hand, open hand, is much useful than how you call close hand, you know, that's not much useful, but it's still hand. But the open hand is much more useful. So, and mother also said, you know, some part of the Asia, there are a lot of material poverty. Yeah, somebody helps, please. Material. Trying to learn this word, like last 15 years, could not learn, so not poverty. Yeah, poverty. Yeah, it's getting better. So then no, said mother says is the cure in the Western world, Europe, America. That's another kind of poverty, unwanted, unloved, lonely, the gold list goes on and on. So mother, you know, like highly encouraged, you know, mother says holiness for all. As I said at the beginning, doesn't matter what we are looking for. We are looking for help. That's what we are looking for. We are not looking for becoming something. We are looking for help. You know, so helps how to be happier human beings, how to be better human beings. You know, so mother, it says the happiness, the holiness for all. You know, so all can become holy. Holiness for all. And that's same the way of thinking from the mind, the Buddhist point of view. You know, everybody's precious. You know, everybody's precious. So that's why whenever she sees some difficulty, she sees not as a problem, she sees as something, you know, precious. And that's exactly, you know, this. So there shouldn't be anybody too unwanted, unloved, because this so precious. Everybody's so precious. What we call from Buddhist point of view, precious human life. Your life is precious. It's worth more than anything else on this planet. You know, so you never ever think that you are worthless. That's totally misunderstanding of life. So Buddha highly emphasized, not even 1 second do you think about yourself is unworthy, you know, not meaningful. That's totally, you are heading towards wrong directions. You know, that's misconceptions. So, and the person, the same person, you know, the Mother Teresa, the Buddha, you know, none of us we encounter or see Buddha, but the Mother, you know, only like six, seven years ago, passed away, maybe more like that, you know. People, you know, it's in our generations. She also says, you know, that. So, and the mother said charity, so I'm not sure what is the meaning of charity.
Charity means to give.
Mother says charity begin with the home. Begin with the home. So then explain to the neighbors. Then explain slowly. So I vividly remember then mother used this Hindi language, you know, egg means one. Not the egg that we eat. No, egg sounds very similar. Egg means one by one. So, and also one advice the mother gives for the family, you know. And also mother says, interesting, so I'm not saying that you have to believe. So we have to have something to research on. So mother says, family who does prayer. So as I said, no, for my definition of prayer is wonderful wish that, you know, you say in the word. That's my definition. That's my understanding of the prayers. So mother says, who say prayer in the family has, you know, that, you know, had family more likely bind together. Maybe not necessarily, you know, religion, you know, like saying something together, something wonderful, you know, how kindness of the father, you know, for how hard father works, maybe how many times the father watched TV. So, you know, the kindness of mother, you know, how much mother gives, you know, things like that, you know, the children can, you know, like, they can, you know, like, they don't, they may not say anything, but, you know, it goes into their mind, you know. So that's the good things that you are passing down. It's not, you know, bad things you are passing down. So there are so many things to think about. When you think about happiness, it's not easy, you know, like, so many studies have been done. still there's many more studies been doing. Putting wire here, everywhere, the wire, you know, putting the monks into the, like, kind of that big. Yeah, putting there, you know, taking down, you know, putting all kind of wire there. Not just monks, you know, also not all kind of people, all people, you know, people from college or university, or from high school, all range of age group that do all kind of studies, you know. And all the study shows, you know, shows. So, like, thinking about something good, what they, you know, what we call it, meditations on, you know, loving kindness, compassion. This all shows the positive side of the brain, you know, there's some movement, function in the positive side of the brain. The study has been done, you know, many studies have been done. So, so therefore, I think, you know, happiness, the old studies, so maybe, yeah, you can look. So now the last Sunday, the method of cherishing others is the road to happiness. So based on that, you know, we're supposed to have some discussion. So now, maybe instead of discussion, if you want to say something, please, you know, you do like, please you say something, share your thought, your knowledge, you know, like, what do you think, maybe, you know, road to happiness, you know, say, interior happiness, exterior happiness, you know, those both fields, studies been done on those both fields. So then based on that, you know, then you say, then as I said, very important, so prayer, faith, love, actions, connections between them, you know, yeah, so maybe now, yeah. Please, you want to say something? Anybody? Please don't be shy. So, no, we are eager to hear what you have to say. We are not going to judge. Yeah, please, yeah.
Thank you. I was just thinking about, I was listening to the definition of prayer, and I was starting to think about... do we pray, I mean, in the Catholic faith or Christian faith that where I started from, we pray to a God, we pray to Jesus and other deities. But from what I'm understanding about Buddhism is that it's not on the outside, it's in here, that we all have that inside us. So when I think of prayer and as a wish, I like that definition. I remember when I first went through rehab and they were talking about having the emptiness and the void, and I think they said that I was spiritually bankrupt at the time when I was self-centered, self-seeking, and all I cared about was me. And I didn't really care about anything else as long as I was okay. And I was also willing to do many, many things that may not be acceptable to other people to make sure that I was okay. One of the things they taught us is that our minds, or my mind, was broken. That the way that I had developed reasoning and the way I did things was not the most beneficial way to do things. So they said instead of thinking your way into better living, you would live your way into better thinking. So they described that as, I remember... one of the things they emphasized was being of service, which would get myself out of myself and to helping other people, which in turn would make me humble, give me gratitude for my life and the way things are, because my life at that time was what I considered was very bad. And, well, it was. But there is always someone worse off. Even as bad as I think that things are in my life, there is always someone else that has less or is going through something more than what I am. So if I can help somebody else, not only am I being of service to another human being, but what I get back is, I describe it as the warm fuzzy feeling, which is better than any drug or alcohol that I ever had. And it makes me feel good about me, that I'm not a worthless piece of crap, that I can be of benefit to other people. And later on, I came to the realization that that is, you know, people ask, what's the purpose of life? And I came up with my purpose of life is to help other people. That's what it is. And so that's how I try to live. Now, it's not the easiest thing to do all the time, but with anything else, it's like you were saying, it's practice. It's repetition. It's, okay, so I stumbled today, but I recognize I stumbled. I stopped what I was doing, and I restarted my day, and I continued to work towards that. And every day I get a little better. And that's kind of how I try to go through life.
Wonderful, wonderful, yeah. Very good, very good.
I've really discovered that if we live our lives for the sake of others, if we cherish others more than ourselves, then we actually find happiness. If we cherish ourselves, if we live for ourselves, we find more unhappiness. Case in point, when I lost my son, it was during that time I found that the more that I thought about my own situation, and I thought about what I lost, and the more I separated myself from others, I found the more unhappy I was becoming, the less joy I felt. I discovered that when I would think about other people who have lost their loved ones, who've experienced some difficulty in their life. And when I would go and do whatever I could to try to make them feel better about themselves and better about their situation, then I felt the exact opposite of what I was feeling, and that was joy. And I find the more that I do that, and I try to put myself in situations where I do that often, I find the more that I do that, the more joy I feel, the happier I become, the lighter I feel. It is something that's almost tangible. It's something that you can just look at it. You can say, yeah, this is exactly how happiness is derived. This is exactly how suffering comes about. And then it becomes addictive, right? We're talking about addictions. It becomes addictive because the more you give, the more you want to give, and the more you want to give because you find that in that you are part of that whole and you are actually given to yourself. So it really is, as the Dalai Lama says, enlightened self-interest. But we can really, really do a little test on ourselves and just find the moments when we're alone and thinking about our own self, just look and see how we feel. Do we feel happy? Do we feel joy? And then the moment we give to other people, the moment we begin to share, the moment we begin to smile, whatever, just check how we feel inside. We can really quickly find where happiness lies. And so I want to share that.
More donations we needed, please.
A couple of years ago, a very wise friend of mine gave me we had a discussion on prayer. And he said, I don't pray to someone, I pray for someone. And I just thought that was just a phenomenal way to look at it. And when you change that and you start praying for people, you notice a friend or family member or somebody that, you know, is hurting for whatever reason, and you start praying for them, all of a sudden it changes and you feel a little bit of that, what can you do about it?
a little bit more of that responsibility. I'm going to take this on. Whether I can actually do something, try to find the wisdom to what can I do about it, and if I can do something, I try to do it. And if I can't actually physically do something, just the praying for it and praying for that person helps me to not ever feel helpless. And it makes a difference in my mind by praying for something rather than to something. That was a very simple discussion, but it made a huge impact. So, Richard, that's to you.
Any more donations? Without pressures. Yeah, so
that was a really, that was a really powerful circle. How do they go? Prayer, faith, love, and service. Mm-hmm. And it leads around in a circle. And the circle leads to more prayers of gratitude and joy.
Thank you. Yes. So maybe people are saving donations for next week. Thank you. One story I would like to share with you. I think the mother was in Australia, in Melbourne, Australia. She met on the street one man, probably looks, dirty. So she asked that man, will you allow me to come to your house and clean? And man said, no, I'm all right. No, I'm all right. And mother says, no, you'll be more all right if you let me come in to clean. So, it's a big job. It's not easy. It's not easy. It requires, So anyway, then, after that, mother and probably her sister, they went to his house, clean probably. Not even known as clean. So here also at the Kadamba Center, many people, our center member, doing that to some other members, behind the scenes, here are, people are doing that, so I know them. Anyway, so they're cleaning, and the mother finds out there's beautiful lamp. It means all dust, So then, one floor I forgot, he said, and the mother asked, do you ever light this lamp? And he said, for who? Nobody visits me years and years. So I'm not going, for who? So then say, for us. Mother said, for us, our sister, my sister. So then they clean. And she says he agreed, So then they clean, they turn on that beautiful lamp. So then after a couple of years, some mother received a note from that man, say, the light that you lit is still burning, in my house. Then you didn't know. So if you see someone who feels unworthy, unloved, unwanted, so it's very important to, including myself, make sure that we give them, make sure that we tell them that, their life is, holy, precious, meaningful. It's like gift up, according to mother, mother says give up God. Whatever it is, is gift and is gift. So it may, you know, require some, you know, in my case, you know, in my, as I say, not my, my case dealing with my cat, you know, also required me to say more prayer. So that's for sure. For me, you know, so I'm less the most beings that I'm dealing with daily basis as my cat. And heart hunger, you know, heart need, heart demand, you know, all this, you know, so it's not also, you know. So for me, so for you have much more greater challenge than I face, you know, so, so anyway, so me, you know, for my case, yeah, definitely, you know, saying more prayers really helps me to, you know, like, fresh, you know, make sure that I myself is not spirit bankrupt. So, the, yeah, so, did somebody told you or you felt spirit bank? They told you. Yeah, so I make sure that I don't bankrupt. How is it?
Yeah, bankrupt.
I'm spiritually bankrupt. So for me, it's not important. It's very necessary, you know, to refresh my way of thinking, you know, refresh the prayer that I say, may all sentient beings, you know, refresh that to when I interact with other sentient beings. It's very important for me to, you know, like, so in a computer, then you have buttons, quote unquote, refresh. You only hit that button, you know, if there's something wrong. Right? You don't hit that button if there's something correct, you know. So, anyway, so there's a constantly reminding the two buttons, refresh, you know, the undo. So, you know, so undo. So that, like, that's why I'm more careful about actions, and you know, my actions. You know, so that's like, action is, you know, that's not. So that's so anyway, oh yeah. So anyway, so so very purpose of, you know, existing this Kadamba Center is that we become better human beings. We care for each other, you know. Because you are precious. That's all. You know, because you. It's not because I'm better than you. It's like, you know, like. Everybody's getting something. Everybody's getting something. So that's why, you know, I really, you know, the Kadamba Center, we are doing the service based on our abilities, you know. I mean, we are going to expand, you know. So that's, I've been encouraging people here last 15 years. So, you know, so we, that's the whole purpose of, you know, existing the Kadamba Center is to being better human beings. Oh, you can be a non-believer, but still better human beings, you know. So, recently His Holiness wrote the books Beyond Religion. So I believe, you know, I truly believe that because I believe that, you know, because my cat loves me. Not because, I don't think she knows I'm a monk. And she has probably no idea how many prayers that I say. She has no idea. But she loves because, you know, I give her something, you know, I pet her, you know, like that. So when it comes down to love, that's the core message of any, you know, belief systems. So nobody argues about love, nobody argues. Everybody's willing to take. So then we have to now how to make ourselves willing to give, you know. So that means putting your love into action means that you are doing something bigger than yourself. That's why you feel good. You know, last Sunday I shared with you one of my friends in Spain, Barcelona, young guy, so now he become father. So I asked him, you know, so we have been talking on the phone quite a bit, you know. So he said, I'm very, very happy. So I told him, I'm very, very glad to hear that you are happy. So then, because he has son. So then I asked him, why you are so happy now? And he says, now I'm thinking more about my son than myself. That means exactly match with the teachings. You are doing something bigger than yourself. That's why you feel good. See, no, it's nothing to do with religion. It's nothing to do with religion. No. So that's why His Holiness is saying beyond religion, there's goodness beyond religions. you know, the care that we receive from our mother when we are born. We ourselves have no clue of any religion at all, because that's just baby. So by so much care that's been given, and probably hardly know your mother's name, that you feel so, this is like compassion, love, and affections. So this is, His Holiness says, this is in our blood. So we need to preserve that, you know, in order to be better human beings. So there's so much been said. So now the thing is, you know, to do some study, you know, to give more thoughts. The people who, you know, like, dedicated their whole life for putting their love into actions, you know, so listen to a little bit to them and to think a little more what those persons said, whether that person is Buddhist, doesn't matter. You know, so like, who said that you're listening to non-Buddhist things is like bad things? I don't believe. I've been monk like since I was 7. I never heard that. So as I said, you know, what we need help. Whoever can produce that to develop better heart is good for everybody. So that's why I've been reading Mother's books, hoping that I will learn something to read, you know. Then I think, you know, so, and I was, you know, very much inspired by, you know, Mother's, you know, how much she gives to the poor. So when you really think, you know, what you can expect from them, nothing. They have no money. First of all, they are like most of the people their mother found on the street. No education, no money. But she's getting something back. That's huge. There's no price. So the bottom line is, you know, like doing, you feel, because you are doing something bigger than yourself. I think that's why it's called Road to Happiness. So the minute you begin to think about others, so that's why from the Mahayana Buddhist point of view, your happiness began from there, true happiness. So maybe next Sunday, you know, maybe I hope the more people will give donations. So that's whole reason, you know, this center exists, because we are coming here to become, you know, better human being, to think my love is precious, not to think, you know, worthless, meaningless. This is all misconceptions. You know, how to think, you know, better yourself and better other. More you think, more you see value in your life, more it helps to see value in other people's life. So that's exactly why Kadamba San is here. So, you know, it's not, you know, to convert people who come here to count, okay, how many people become Buddhist this year. So get so excited. That's another goal. That hasn't been the goal in the past 15 years. It's not going to be the goal as long as I'm here. You know, I never encourage anybody to become Buddhist. So if some of you know me 15 years, I've never said even one person, I've never said you should become Buddhist. I never said that. I'm not going to say it again. So I, you know, I don't believe that. I don't believe, you know, that you can do that. Anyway, so core, the very purpose of existing Kadamba Center is, you know, to share, to be helpful, to learn how to be loved, how to give, you know, forgive, and all these things, learn to survive together, and side by side, you know, peacefully, you know, harmoniously. You know, that's our goal. Because that's our goal. Why? Because that's the prayer exactly what I say before the class. Four images of prayer, that's what we believe. That's what we work for. That's what we believe. No, it doesn't say, may all sentient beings become Buddhists. We don't say that. No. So may all sentient beings have happiness, and cause of happiness. That's, sincerely, that's what Buddhists believe. So therefore, you know, like, anyway, so I can go on and on now, time's like over. So, anyway, so this is your center, you know. So like I said, your presence, you may think, oh, so your presence is important here, you know. That's carrying some energies, you know, because the center has been well developed because of your presence. It's not, some of you may think this is my center. It's not my center. It's your center. It's not my center. I'm just here to, I'm not sure why I'm here. So anyway, so our spiritual director, Lama Swepa Rinpoche, the spiritual director, you know, he invited me here. So that's your center. Whatever we try to develop here is for you. No, not for you to become Buddhist, not for you to become better human beings. No, so this is your center. So then, people here, if you see here something, you know, going on, and say, please, no, please, no, that try to help. No, so I myself, you know, like also included, not just you know you. I myself is also included. Okay, yeah. So we'll stop. So maybe next Sunday discussion group, divided discussion group.
So if you turn back to your prayer book, your white prayer book, and to the first pink sheet.
So then please remember all the people in the prayer list, you know, prayer list now, there's not enough time. So someone maybe just remember.
May all beings everywhere, plagued by suffering, may all living creatures suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill, may no one be afraid or belittled, may the blind see form from the deaf, may those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothes and the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drink. May the poor find wealth. Those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be free. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All powerful Chenrezig, Tenzin, Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatara, the one with great decision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You who uphold the Sutur's moral way, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Majjhanas victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live on. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
So then we save just a few minutes at the end for a report by our new treasurer of the board, Lisa James.
Thank you, Sarah. I wanted to just go over a couple of things quickly with you all, because we are coming up to the end of this year. And so we do have, I want to go over our annual appeal for 2012, and then just let you know that we do have our appeal coming up for next year, which there'll be a presentation about that next week. So for our 2012 annual appeal, our goal was 84,000, and we actually had pledged 91,000. By 113 donors. And as of September 30th, 68,000 of that has already been received, which is fabulous. And we have 25% that's remaining, which we expect to receive by the end of this year. So thank you for everyone. It's very much appreciated, and it helps with all the expenditures that happen at the center and keep the lights on, and everything that happens here is a big part of that. So just a little bit of detail. For last year, we had some planned, our planned income was $189,000. And to date so far, our income has been about $125,000. We still have some expected income to come in from our visiting teachers that we have coming in October and November. In October, we have Karuna Caton coming for a weekend workshop on mindfulness, the misleading mind. And then in November, we have Venerable Rabina coming for the whole month. So we do have some expected income to come in from there. And we do still have, as I mentioned, some additional annual appeal funds to come in. So currently, we are on target as long as our current giving trend continues. And our planned expenses for the year 2012 was $186,000. And to date, we're about $120,000. And expenses are pretty much in line as originally was budgeted, which is great. So I do have prepared just the financial statements for September 30th for anyone who is interested in looking at them or if anyone has any questions about them. They will be posted on the website probably tomorrow. But if anybody has any questions, they can see me or they can email me at an email address that will be determined later. It hasn't been set up yet, but it will be. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.